and make no payments for the rest of the summer. See us for details. So hurry in today during Chevy's Summer Drive sales event and see the largest selection of Silverados in Central Vermont at Cody Chevrolet Cadillac. Another reason Cody is why Chevy's the buy. Chevrolet, find new roads.
All right, we're back. We go to the phone. I want to thank Commissioner David Mears for joining us on the program this morning. He's the head of the Department of Environmental Conservation, made the decision on the Berlin Pond. He's kind enough to join us on a state holiday. Commissioner, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Where was the burden of proof in this decision? Or was there one?
You know, there is I wouldn't have put it quite that way, but really the presumption in these kinds of cases is in favor of protecting recreational access to our lakes and ponds and rivers. And so really the burden was on the petitioners and the city to show that there really was some overriding, concern about that associated with having recreation on the pond that overcame that presumption.
I would have thought that it would have been the drinking supply.
Absolutely. The drinking water supply issue is paramount. There's no question that had that been an issue, we would have granted the petition if we thought there was any real concern.
Okay. But you said that recreational access sounds like it was the primary concern. Was drinking water safety secondary or equal, or where did it rank?
No, I guess what I was suggesting is that the recreation is just, that's a presumption. It's the presumptive use of all of our waters. And, as is drinking water, protecting for both of us. Those are all important uses that need to be protected. But, in terms of the way I approach this decision, I was primarily focused on drinking water. So I would put that well above the other uses. If there had been any risk to drinking water, we would have reached a different decision. Well, in fact, part of the basis of our decision to grant the city's request that we go further to protect and restrict against internal combustion engines and the risk of petroleum spills, that the basis of that decision to grant that part of their petition was based on concerns for protecting drinking water.
Mm-hmm. How did you decide that canoe and kayak use and swimming, for example, would not pose a risk to drinking water?
Well, I worked with the experts in my shop that are focused on drinking water systems who, work across the state to make sure that all of our public drinking water supplies are protected. And they told me that the kind of drinking water system that Montpelier has in place, which is one of the best in the state, was more than adequate to remove the kind of bacterial contaminants that might be associated with human contact with the water.
But how do you know that in the future? I mean, how do you predict that when you look at the future?
Well, as Tim Raymond on my staff, who is part of this decision, he's one of the leads for our drinking water protection program, said yesterday in a discussion we were having with some other reporters, we have lots of data about across the state about the various kinds of systems. So we were looking to existing demonstrated performance of similar kinds of plants, both in Vermont and across the country, and the kind of plant, the activated carbon kind of treatment system that Montpelier has in place is one that has demonstrated that it's more than adequate to address the kind of bacteria and virus or the kinds of things you'd be concerned about that are associated with human contact with water.
Why not just remove any potential risk and just say no?
Well, it's an interesting way to approach things. You can't ever get to zero risk. But we, short of just drinking, water out of a mountain stream or a spring, there's always going to be some kind of risk. And what we do in these kinds of drinking water systems is you have multiple levels of protection, multiple ways in which you can kind of check to make sure that there's no contamination getting through the system. And there's enough redundancy in all of our public water drinking water systems, including in Montpelier's, to make sure that people are getting good, clean drinking water. And Montpelier, frankly, is some of the best water in the state.
And you drink it.
I sure do, along with my kids and my wife and my whole family.
Let me take a call from Montpelier. Jed, good morning.
Good morning. I think the biggest thing with the Protect Berlin Pond issue for me is starting with the idea that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, it seems, in listening to the discussion yesterday, that basically the ounce of prevention was sort of the ANR basically said, well, we're not worried about the ounce of prevention. We'll just let Montpelier take care of the pay for the pound of cure. The only thing they really said with regard to water quality was that we will keep after Montpelier to ensure that they do the monitoring they're supposed to do, because we have the rules for that. But when it came to what about spills of kerosene, propane, other petroleum products, there are laws on the books, is what was said, and therefore, you know, against spills, and therefore we don't worry about that.
Let me get these two questions in for the commissioner.
Okay.
So ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure, it's sort of where I was asking you too. And who's going to enforce these rules about, for example, keeping the motorized boats off?
Well, sure. So on the ounce of prevention, that clearly is the best way to protect drinking water systems. And one of the nice things about Berlin Pond is it really is protected against development, and some of the greatest risks to a drinking water supply aren't from contact from recreation or uses. It's the kind of pollution that's associated with, you know, algae blooms with too much nutrient pollution, or it's, you know, chemical or industrial runoff, or oil spills from our cars and transportation and those things. And those are, frankly, all risks that are much reduced by the way in which Berlin Pond and its local environment has been pretty well protected. Some of the greatest risks to the drinking water supply from the pond are, frankly, that it's relatively close to the interstate access, and that there are some roads that run pretty close to it. So, but I agree with the sentiment that an ounce of prevention is the right approach. It's just, in this case, the drinking water system that's already in place already handles very effectively the kind of contamination that's associated with human contact. And frankly, there's already that kind of contamination in the pond anyway. People, have walked their dogs. There's already ways in which bacterial contamination are in the pond. And on the spills issue, one of the arguments was that somehow the use of ice fishing on ponds would increase the risk of oil spills. We just have no evidence of that. Our experience of ice fishing in the state of Vermont is that it does not really increase the risk of spills. I mean, every now and then you'll read about, we had an instance up in northern part of Lake Champlain where somebody drove their truck out, but that's not associated with, it fell through the ice. That's not associated with ice fishing or ice shacks. That's just a foolish person driving their, truck out into, ice that wasn't thick enough.
Right. That's a different kind of ice fishing. Yeah. Why did you not allow motorized vehicles?
Yeah, just for that reason. We just didn't want to have any risk that someone would be taking snowmobiles or trucks or anything out onto a pond that's used for a drinking water supply. We really can't afford the risk of somebody being foolish enough to try to drive out onto the pond.
Why are there motorboats allowed in the Waterbury Reservoir?
The presumption, generally, unless they're restricted, most of our larger lakes and ponds and reservoirs across the state allow motorboats. For instance, Lake Champlain or the Waterbury Reservoir. It's an activity that allows people to enjoy the use of our ponds and lakes.
Okay, but not Berlin Pond.
Not Berlin Pond. Again, one of the concerns is that it's the drinking water plant, in the context of the ounce of prevention is worth of a pound of cure. Having any kind of significant petroleum spill into Berlin Pond would be much more challenging for that plant to deal with. And while we're confident that it could handle that in the sense that you can typically see a sheen of oil, the intake structure is below the level of the water, so hopefully the oil wouldn't get into the intake. And there are ways to shut off the intake at the plant. Still, it would be better to not have to deal with those kinds of issues, given that the treatment plant really can't deal with petroleum very effectively.
Let's go to Randolph Center. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just have one comment to make about the pond there. And my daughter lives down in Massachusetts on a pond, And it's beautiful to look at, but if you look close, there's all these plants in it, and there are a couple of different invasive species. So my concern would be about those sorts of things getting in on even canoes and kayaks. And it's the sort of thing, there used to be a pond between Randolph and Rutland, and we went by there for like 50 years, and recently I noticed there's no pond there anymore. It just filled in. So I think that the potential of having plants hitchhike onto canoes or kayaks could be a concern. So that's my two cents.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner, anything you want to comment on that?
Yeah, that's a great point. And if there's no question that invasive species for Vermont's lakes and ponds are an issue, there's a plant, particular noxious, called milfoil, which has gotten into a lot of our ponds, particularly in the southern part of the state, down around Rutland, where it's a real nuisance and a real problem. We have a whole program set up to work with lake and pond associations to help inform people about the need to keep those kinds of weeds and things off of their boats when they move from pond to pond. And it's one of the reasons that we're interested in having a more controlled level of access into the pond. And my colleague, Commissioner Lewis Porter at the State Fish and Wildlife Department, is talking with the town of Berlin, and we're hopeful that the city of Montpelier actually might join in those conversations in terms of creating a controlled access where we can have places to educate people about those kinds of risks.
Let's go to Berlin. Kelly, good morning.
And how are you?
Good.
I have a dairy farm in Berlin, and I hay the fields east of the pond. You know, they're not directly on the pond. They're way past the 250 feet thing. But anyway, me and some of the landowners kind of feel like we're somewhat bullied by Montpelier, because I'd like to spread some manure on them fields. I could do it well within the state regulations for the rest of the state, but Montpelier seems to think they're special, and I can't do it there.
Huh. All right. Commissioner, anything you know about that?
That's not an issue I'm aware of. I hadn't realized that there was
I've been haying in fields for 20, 30 years now, and they're getting really depleted. They need fertilizer bad. Point blank, I don't dare do it. I just don't need the implication. I'd love to do it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for your call. Interesting.
Let's go. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate it. Let's go over to Barry. Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark and Commissioner. Appreciate the information. Berlin Pond is a spectacular place, and it's rightly managed. I'm sure people of the state can enjoy it. You might have already answered the question, but is it allowable to use an electric motor on the Berlin Pond?
Yes, it is. It's absolutely allowed to use anything that doesn't involve, you know, an internal combustion engines or what are prohibited. I mean, it's one of the things that, you know, there's been, I really appreciate some of the focus and concern that the folks who filed the petition and others who have spoken in support of it bring. It's kind of lovely to be in a state where people care so much about these resources. But we really, the experience we've had is that these kinds of ponds, and Berlin Pond is a special gem given that it really is well protected in terms of development, it's the kind of thing people should be able to enjoy and get out on and enjoy through kayaking or canoeing or with, you know, going out and fishing with a trolling motor. And we have a lot of experience in the state managing those kinds of activities to also protect the fisheries and wildlife. I was out the other day and listening to the loons while I was watching a couple of kayakers cast their fly rods across the pondweed.
You said this wasn't even a close call, huh?
In terms of the drinking water, no, really, not a risk.
Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
David Mears is the commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation, made the decision on Berlin Pond. Moment of your time for our friends at the Vermont Coffee Company. It is coffee roasted for friends, and we encourage you to buy the product and then invite somebody over to your house. Also makes a nice housewarming gift. And you might like to start your day with a big, bold cup of coffee. Try the dark roast. If you like a milder roast, they have a nice blend for you, too. And those of you living in that decaffeinated world, trust me, the decaffeinated blend has robust flavor, too. And frequently, decaffeinated coffees cannot make that claim. Boy, we are a long day away from the Folgers crystals, aren't we? That's Vermont Coffee Company coffee, coffee roasted for friends. If you can't find it in your favorite independent grocery store, your favorite co-op, or the Shaw's and Hannaford's in your area, you can always purchase it online. That's the easiest way to send it to your friends and relatives out of town. And that's at VermontCoffeeCompany.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
And be listening for live reports all through this afternoon from the Celebrate Vermont Festival in Stowe. Lee Cattell will be broadcasting live from the Stowe Events Field on Weeks Hill Road for the opening day of the Celebrate Vermont Festival right here on WDEV.
WDEV is your home for Boston Red Sox baseball all season long. Coverage is brought to you in part by Cody Chevrolet on the Barrie Montpelier Road, Lenny Shoe and Apparel in Barrie, Williston, St. Albans, and Plattsburgh.
Stop by, second by Pedroia, gets up, throws, and got on at first base. What a play by Petey.
Mad River Garden Center, Route 100, Waitsfield. Harvest Equipment in Newport, Swanton, and Williston. Your co-op insurance agents across Vermont and online at coopinsurance.com. 802 Honda, exit 7, I-89 in Berlin. 802 Toyota and Twin City Subaru on the Berlin Mall Road.
And he swings and drives one deep to right. This one is long gone. Three-run homer. The Red Sox lead it 4-1.
Your home for Boston Red Sox baseball is WDEV, FM, and AM.
Attention Vermonters, would you like a different vehicle but don't think your trade is worth much? Then you need to check out the Cash for Junkers event at the new McMahon Chevy Buick in Morrisville. Hi, this is Steve Sace from McMahon.
And I'm Matt Dever, sales manager at McMahon. With Cash for Junkers, if your trade rolls, floats, or flies and has a VIN number, you'll get a guaranteed minimum trade allowance of $3,000 toward any one of the tons of used vehicles we have in stock. And we're talking almost anything on trade. Cars, sleds, boats, X-Wing fighters.
X-Wing fighters? Dude, those aren't even real. But we'll take just about anything else. And the same great deal applies to McMahon's Import Corner, where we've dedicated one corner of our lot to late model imports. And don't worry, if your trade's worth more than $3,000, you'll get it. In fact, most people get way more. Come visit us today or see us online at McMahonChevrolet.com.
The new McMahon, at the corner of Route 15 and Route 100 in Morrisville. During this event, we've taken tons of junkers off the roads and saved people thousands, but it can't last forever, so get here soon.
Cash for Junkers, only at McMahon Chevy Buick and McMahon's Import Corner. At the new McMahon, we make deals the other guys won't. Chevy, find new roads.
If you haven't been to B&B Nurseries on the Stagecoach Road in Morrisville, you should make it a point to stop and shop. We have a great selection of perennials, trees, and shrubs, and stone for many different applications. While here, you may find some unadvertised specials. So stop, shop, and save at B&B Nurseries. We are open Monday through Friday from 7 until 5, Saturday from 8 until 2. B&B Nurseries, we're growing for you.
Well, I'll be licking my wounds over the weekend, see if I can get over not having been selected the new baseball commissioner. So discouraging. Rob Manfred was selected. He's a labor lawyer. Seems like really that they're looking to maintain peace is what the owners really want. I mean, this, you know, as the New York Times pointed out, this illusion that the commissioner works for everyone in the game, we fans included, is about as big a myth as Babe Ruth calling the home run shot in the World Series. And if you believe Abner Doubleday actually created baseball, then I've got a bridge to sell you, too. These are all nice, you know, myths for us to hold on to. Here were the powerful, some of the most powerful first words that came from the clearly charismatic Rob Manfred. Quote, "I don't really want to get too deeply today into agendas and areas we want to tackle. I really don't want to go into my priorities tonight." Come on. I mean, this guy just got introduced to the national media. Here was his one golden opportunity to have made one really brilliant point, at least. And he just, shall we say, maybe he whiffed on that opportunity? Have a great weekend, everybody. Please come back and join us same time, same place, Monday, if you can bear it. And have a great weekend. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, and the flagship, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury and Montpelier. News is next.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. Police in Ferguson, Missouri have released...